5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
There's two on three. Now drives on Dort, turns him back, pulls back, shoots. Tough shot. Jalen Green. That was incredible.
You got to be kidding me.
Rockets tip off their season tonight at Toyota Center against the Charlotte Hornets. That 11-game win streak that they had last year in March, a whole lot of fun. That's from win number 10, a win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll see how things go this year, but I feel like the vibes are fantastic, and I think that they're going to be a playoff team this year. Do I get specific and say they'll make it via the play-in tournament or they'll actually straight make it? Nope. I just think they're going to make it. I can't see how they missed the playoffs this year with the way, Joe, that Ime Udoka has put this thing together in such a short period of time. And then on top of that, with the depth that this team has, I feel like it's going to make everybody better by the end of the year.
Do you consider the, just a semantics question, I guess, consider the play-in tournament making the playoffs, like even if they only play in one game and then they lose as like
if
a 10 seed,
they win their play-in series, yes, I count it as making it.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't count it as making it though if you make the play-in tournament. Like, you're not raising a banner. If you do, I will break into the stadium at night and set it on fire.
You need to play a 7-game series.
Okay. I figured, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I really don't see a lot of these older teams in the West like figuring out their problems without just, like, it's going to get worse. The Clippers are going to be a disaster this year. The Suns are going to be a disaster. They don't play any defense. Like, maybe Budenholzer gets them heading the right direction. But the Rockets should continue to improve. And with Udoka there, I would be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. I really would be. And I don't think asking them to make the playoffs without having to go through the play-in tournament is asking for a ton. Asking them to get to the sixth seed, they can do that. They could be the sixth seed.
That might be a little high. I feel like they're going to be in the play-in tournament no matter what. But if you are in the 7 or the 8, I do kind of count that.
Yeah,
if you're the 9 or the 10 is really where I'm getting at into the nitty-gritty. If you're the 9 or the 10 and you don't make it, you didn't really make it.
Yeah, I mean, last year does seem like the exception. But in previous years, because last year, like, you know, the Lakers were part of the play-in, and they had 48 wins last season. But the year before, you know, the seventh seed had 43 wins. The year before that, very similar. So if you get to 44 wins in most years, unless the West really is just this good because the East is terrible and they're just going to beat up on everyone, if you get to 44 wins, you should be just on the cusp of being the sixth and seventh seed.
And the reason I don't think that you're going to need as many wins as last year is that you look at last year's teams and they're all, or in the playoffs, a lot of them are either old teams or old teams that got a lot of games out of guys that you don't expect to get a lot of games out of. The Lakers, like you talked about, the Pelicans with Zion, even Kevin Durant played like 70-something games last year. Like, these guys are getting up there in age, and you're a team full of 20-year-olds. So that should be an advantage when it comes down to, are these guys going to get hurt? And a lot of these teams are so dependent on these old, aging stars to be a decent team.
We'll see what happens. I'm feeling good, though. Feeling good, guys.
Are these the expectations we should have had for the Texans this year?
No.
Like, was that how we feel about the Rockets
now? No. Okay. Because the Rockets don't have a C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
The Texans have a C.J. Stroud, and they added a lot this offseason. Who do the Rockets really add? They drafted Reed Sheppard, and it's the same team for the most part coming back. Steven Adams, I guess, is the new piece. Like, he's what, your eighth guy, ninth guy?
Yeah.
Backup center.
Right.
He's going to play 10 minutes a game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, he should play more than Jock Landale, though. Landale.
Why do you hate Jock Landale?
I feel like watching
Jock Landale had a 20-point game.
Yeah, Landale was money.
Watching him play basketball, I was like, I don't enjoy watching this guy.
He was the opposite. He was the opposite of Dylan Brooks, and it really just goes to show how much a first impression is worth. He stunk it up at the start of the season.
They benched him early in the season.
Yeah, but at the end.
But when they were winning games.
There was one game, I forget which one it was, but I think it was the one I went to, and I think he scored the first 18 points for the Rockets. And he was just perfect from the
field.
That
sounds right.
It was insane.
That sounds right.
It was insane.
He had one late. It was like February. It was February, March.
I was there. I remember. I was like, what is going on? How is he doing this?
Who is this guy?
Right. Tillman Fertitta. He is the owner of the Houston Rockets. He joined John and Lance this morning, and he talked about the new deals that he gave to both Alperen Şengün, 5 years, $185, and Jalen Green, three-year player option for, what, 108, 105, something like that? Here is Tillman Fertitta with John and Lance.
I wouldn't say that they're team-friendly. They were team-friendly, but they're player-friendly, too. When you have a guy like Alfie that, you know, making, you know, it's a tremendous amount of money, $5 million, because he wasn't a top-10 pick, and now he's guaranteed $185 million over 5 years. And that's pretty player friendly too. I know they're happy. Let me tell you something about these guys, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them.
Can I pause before Tillman tells us about these guys? I love it when rich people feel like you called them poor, because that's 100% what Tillman Fertitta must have felt right there, hearing that these are team friendly deals. Mm-hmm. For Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün.
Or the idea of like, so you kind of got a discount. He's like, I just guaranteed myself $300 million to these two guys.
And he's like, these are not cheap contracts, guys.
Discount.
And it's funny because when taking issue with this being a team-friendly deal, and clearly a little sensitive to the idea that he's pinching pennies, he in turn proves that that's what he's doing here. He's saying, oh, these are actually great deals.
You cut him off. He's about to sound even more kind of, hey, keep in mind, the finances guy.
Here's more Tillman Fertitta with John and Lance this morning.
They know that we have a bunch of young future stars, and they know the way that the cap is in the NBA now, that you cannot go into the apron of the tax. And that's why Steve Ballmer could not keep Paul George and sent him to Philly this year, because you cannot be there. It's so punitive. And we don't want to have to get rid of a star or two future of this young group. And what we're trying to sell these guys on, if everybody keeps progressing the way they're progressing, this team is going to be a championship caliber team in a few years.
Well, we'll see on the last part. There's a lot of things that have to go right for that to happen. But interesting, he's talking about other owners' finances along the way, acting like he's in the same stratosphere from a wallet standpoint as Steve Ballmer. That's just wrong. Ballmer's the richest in the league.
Or even the amount you're currently playing. Like, he's talking about the second apron. It's like, you had cap space 2 years. No, but right. Last offseason.
So much. Which is why they gave Dylan Brooks that ridiculous deal and Fred VanVleet that ridiculous deal.
You're not spending that much.
Yeah. They also would have kept Paul George if they gave him a fifth year.
Yeah, that too.
Like they were gonna, he wanted to stay, and they said they did it for basketball reasons. I'm glad someone was on. That last part made me chuckle.
Yeah, also the Clippers did it mainly for Kawhi Leonard reasons, where it's like I think the party's over with Kawhi Leonard for the most part, and it's like, should we sign another guy to a long contract to be terrible in a new arena?
More Tillman Fertitta with John Granato and Lance Zerline on our station this morning. He said that the Rockets need all-stars.
At a function last night with a lot of our season ticket holders and Oak Room members, and there's just a tremendous amount of excitement. And I just got on the line and was listening to what you were saying. And you know, the excitement is you have all these young guys, and you just, one of them will step up to be an all-star, and that's the difference. But what's most exciting is that when we can take some injuries, is that this year, when you look at your 14th and your 13th and your 12th and your 11th player, you know, that's like Aaron Holiday and Jeff Green and Jayshon Tate. And these guys would be in rotations in most teams. But that's all real positive, but we need a couple of guys to step up and start on that all-star track. Because if you look at all the teams that are really, really good, they all have two all-stars.
He's advertising his
young
wares.
We're young. They'll become all-stars. It's just, are they there yet?
That's Tillman Fertitta. I cut him off there. He's advertising what he's got so that he could potentially make a trade for one of those guys by talking about some of those players probably aren't going to play as much this year. And he is right. I mean, you're looking for that. And if Jalen Green does not become the kind of player who's an all-star, they're going to trade him for one. Şengün, I feel like, just given the deal that they gave him, 5 and 185, they're going to keep him. Green, just given the flexibility for Green specifically that they have, I think they look at this as a thing that they could use, a contract that they could use to trade and go get somebody that has proven he can be consistent, and maybe Green will be able to figure that out elsewhere.
Yeah, best case scenario, the two guys that signed, and actually that all the core seven, they all turned into all-stars. But, I mean, A, that's not going to happen. But B, even if one of these guys turns into an all-star, that still is like, okay, that's a good start when it comes to, like you said in the other clip, trying to win championships.
Also, yeah, all-star.
All-star this year, probably not.
How about all-NBA? Like, that's what they need an all-NBA guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what they really need. Like, they need at least one guy who, at the end of... I think these comments are interesting because it feels very different than Tillman at the Ime Udoka press conference. At the Ime Udoka press conference, he talked about phase one, phase two, and phase three, and getting to phase three as fast as possible. He's much more measured in these comments. He's saying years. And he knows it's not going to happen this year. So they must feel like they're actually in a really good place, where they feel really comfortable with, like, that their goal, they're going to obtain it, but they know that they're not ready fully right now to put their pedal to the metal and try to get it right now. But if Jalen Green doesn't, would you be surprised if they don't have an all-star this year?
No.
No, not at all.
I don't expect them to have
it. Yeah, you don't think they're having an all-star? You don't think Alpi's going to be an all-star this year?
I mean, look.
In the West, it's so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, what, 13, 14, 15 spots?
12.
12, okay, yeah.
But there's normally a couple injuries, so there normally is like 15.
It doesn't count if it, just like the play-in tournament doesn't count.
Okay.
It's not an all-star okay. If you're coming in. The Pro Bowl.
Kevin Durant has a strained MCL, okay.
It's really gone downhill in the NFL where the quarterbacks that there's like end 17, up being Pro Bowlers.
Yeah. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's not quite as bad in the NBA, but...
In the West, it's also hard because a lot of the guys that are... maybe on the bubble and are also, like we said, on the bubble of the playoffs. It's like LeBron James, who, breaking news, guys, LeBron James is going to be an all-star this year.
Well, Bronny.
Steph, Bronny's not making an all-star team.
What if he leads the fan vote?
Stop.
There's been so many fan votes that were like, I mean, Andrew Wiggins was actually a fan vote all-star one time.
The fan vote does help Alperen Şengün out because of his diehard
militant fan base.
I didn't say it. I kind of wanted to. Thank you, Sean. His fan base in Turkey. I'm not saying anything today. We got all it off our chest yesterday.
We're all good now.
I got very close to maybe getting Dell in trouble again.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
When I was talking about Tillman saying that, like, hey, I just signed him to $185 million. That's not team friendly. And I was like, Tillman wants to go, you know how much $85 million buys you in Turkey? But I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
I wish you had.
I was going to, but I didn't say
that. I still think it's so ridiculous that was a controversy. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further than I did yesterday. I felt like I went a little bit too far. Galan and George, he is Joe. I am Paul. We got Sean behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call into Texan. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch as well, at ESPN 975. Before we move on to our next topic, I do feel like we need to get back into some of these Houston Rockets props this year. So we've gone through Reed Sheppard, Rookie of the Year, Jalen Green, fourth quarter benchings, Jalen Green,
baby announcements.
Well, let's just do the basics. Wins, 42.5, which right now is same as the Los Angeles Lakers. MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975. Are the Rockets going to win more or less than 42.5?
I'm going to go more. I think they get the over this year.
I do too. I think that's a fun, pretty easy number.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close. I think they're in the 44, 45 kind of range, but yeah. That is an over, so over.
Yeah, I think I think they get it. I would be.
If you look at some of their underlying numbers, and obviously last year's kind of a weird year because a lot of it happened without Şengün. There's just so many new pieces and stuff. But they had the point differential of a 45-1 team last year. So they actually played under their underlying numbers last year. So if they get a little bit closer to neutral on that, and we think they're going to get better, that should be 45 wins.
Two more quick ones. Play-in tournament, plus 130 to make that.
In. Definitely.
If anything, I'm worried about them being the 6th seed. I think there's a better chance that they're 6th seed than the 11.
Minus 150 to make the playoffs.
Do I get the play-in tournament with this?
No.
This is different.
So this is to be the 6th seed.
Or above.
Or to qualify through the play-in, yes. To get a series.
What's the number?
They seem backwards. I'm guessing that this is that I you know what I might have written this down wrong. Minus 150 to make the playoffs, plus 130 to make the play-in. That seems backwards.
Probably backwards.
Right? Okay. So
no wait, you said plus?
Plus 130 for play-in, minus 150 for playoffs.
That is definitely backwards.
Okay, sorry, I'm going off of what I heard on the audio that I was listening to. Okay, I think they're making the playoffs by playing their way through the play-in tournament.
8 seed against the Thunder, probably. Or maybe not the Thunder, but yeah, 8 seed.
I see that.
Yeah.
I'd be down for this one, too, that they make the playoffs this year.
It was a fun game the last time around.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the fence. This one's hard. This one I, like, wouldn't bet on. But if I have to pick a side, I'll say they make it.
It is Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do we want to roll through or do we want to move on to the next
one? Roll through.
All right, let's roll through. I mean, we could get into another prop bet.
What else we got?
A fun one. We've done in-game scuffles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over under, how many Rockets players will be in the core?
Yes. It's a core 7 right now. I'll say on July, like, 15th next year. So after the offseason. Or no, maybe just after July 1st, on the first day of free agency. How many players do we consider, not are on the team, mm-hmm. that are in the core 7, that we consider? Are we still saying core 7, basically, next after the season?
I'm going to say no, because I think that we're going to – I don't think all these guys will be on the Rockets.
Ooh. A trade?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big trade this year.
I feel like it's coming next offseason.
Like the July 2025? Yeah.
I still think there's a chance that it happens at the deadline this year. I'll say we'll be down to at least a core 5. That two people will be excommunicated from the core 7.
Excommunicated.
Excommunicado. Yeah. Wow.
Whether they're not on the team or whether just because they don't perform well enough.
Okay. That's where I am leaning, where there might be – and just like – it's just the math of the playing time.
Yeah, they're not
all
going to hit,
guys.
Right? Like, not all these guys are going to hit.
There's going to be one of these guys that plays 8 minutes a game this year. And guess what? You're not in the unless you're Reed Sheppard, who plays 8 minutes a game. Like, you're not going to be still considered part of the core. Is that 100% fair? That I'm you know, the rookie, that's fine. The second-year players, you got to play. No, but that's also, like, when we were talking about re-signing these guys, like, you're not going to be in the core. You're not going to get re-signed if you don't play. So I also think – I think it will really be a core five, but there probably will be still six guys on the team. I think just mentally we'll be like, okay, some of these guys
aren't. I think we'll be down to six. I don't think we're going to have a core four figured out. Really, that's what it is. The six, whatever. You know?
Six is so many.
It's a lot of guys. It's really always about a core four. There's usually two to three starters and one to two guys off of the bench. They're the most important players for your team.
I mean, so we know Jalen and we know Şengün. They're auto part of this, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about guys to get traded.
Jalen, yeah. Okay, so we know Şengün's auto part of this.
Şengün, and I don't really see any way that, other than stinking it up, that Reed Shepherd isn't at least, and this is a little bit of just, he's the new car on the block, but I feel like he's also just going to be part of the core, viewed as part of the core next year.
One last Houston Rockets prop bet in this segment. Last year, the Rockets shot 35.2%, to be specific, from outside. That was 23rd in the league. A number I would like to see happen is 37%. The Miami Heat shot that last year, and I believe that ranked them 12th in the NBA. Can the Rockets, over under 37% from outside, be a plus 37% from outside shooting team? Because I think that number right there is going to determine how many more wins they have this year. And if they get into that 50-win club, like, they're going to be shooting around that from outside, I think.
Oh, that's a good number. I'm going to go under.
I'm under as well. I feel like Reed Shepherd is going to help change things, but there's still a lot of shooters on this team. Jalen Green specifically,
yes,
that I don't trust.
To answer this question, I went to the sports reference page for the Rockets, and just last year's Rockets ordered by 3-point attempts. Because what you want is the 3-point attempts to be from all the good 3-point
shooters. Was Dylan Brooks number one?
No, Jalen Green was.
Oh.
Jalen Green was number one at 33%.
Oh, God.
So if Jalen Green is also still number one, but is at 35%, Now we're getting closer. Now we're getting closer.
Especially how much he shoots.
Yeah, Van Vliet was second at 38, almost 39.
Oh boy, he was 38 and 39. That's surprising. I wouldn't have guessed that high.
Jabari was 36.
Not bad.
And then Dylan Brooks was 36.
Honestly, higher than I expected.
Exactly. 36 is honestly for a guy like Dylan Brooks, 36 is perfectly fine.
Cam Whitmore's 36% was higher than I also thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, you
37%
really,
over under. Sean, yeah. What are you saying?
I'm going to go, and they shot 35 for reference. So they basically need to get 2% better. I think with Reed and with Jalen Green, either shooting less or being better, I think they get over.
Okay. I'll say they'll just miss it.
I think they're going to go under. I think it's going to be rather significant. I bet it's more. I bet they're 35% plus, but I bet they're maybe like 16th, 17th in the NBA or something like that.
Yeah, they're 35.2 last year.
Yeah,
so
right. So
maybe they get a percent better.
Let's get to 36%.
Okay. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Galana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, it's a washed watch Wednesday. Is the newest Houston Texan washed? Plus, Joe's got some more for us to ponder on. Stick around.
Hey, if you like these prop bets or want to hit some action this year, LaBerge Lake Charles, great place to do it. ESPN Bet, the sports book there. They've got great food. They've got good drinks. Carbox, Crawfordbach is there on tap. You got the 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks. And you can use the ESPN Bet app while you're there as well. So it's super easy to go in, place a wager, cash out. One of the things we learned last time, look, maybe it's like this everywhere. I don't know. The casino, the sports book closed down, taking bets at one point while we were there watching a late college football game. Just walk over to the casino, cash it out there as well. So you got plenty of options while you're there. It's always a good time. We'll be out there the 16th and 17th doing shows from noon to 2 on Saturday and then 10 a.m. to noon on Sunday. When you leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at ESPN Bet inside LaBerge Lake Charles.
Loot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Every single Wednesday, we do something called Washed Watch. Who's washed like Scott Boras in the world of sports? That's what started it all. Joe George said that Scott Boras, super agent, is washed.
Yeah, we'll see what he does with Alex Bregman right now. See if he can get a real good contract. I hope he's washed.
He has Roy Oswalt on his side. And then, see that Roy Oswalt tweet about?
Yeah, Roy Oswalt said bring back Bregman, and then there was a follow-up from Roger Clemens that said bring back the Killer Bees. I don't know how those things are correlated.
Bregman's last name starts with a B.
I also think,
is there another B?
Is there another B?
No.
There's no B in Kyle Tucker.
And Brian Abreu. That's always my favorite when try to lump in a first name. Yeah. Brad Ausmus.
The problem with Roger saying bring back the Killer Bees is the Killer Bees is what's killing the Astros.
Well, no, maybe it means bring Lance Berkman into this Letterman Jacket Skull and Bone Society.
Oh, so he's the one that would correct Bagwell and Biggio from their disaster mistakes?
You got to have three. It's the rule of three, right? It's like rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Or bring the Killer Bees 3-6 back.
Back? Bring it back to the Astros?
Or just back. Maybe, I don't know when he tweeted it, but maybe it was after the show. He's
Or like during a commercial break?
Yeah.
All right, here's the first one I got for you.
Hit us.
Devin White.
Ooh, I love this.
Washed watch. Hasn't played football in 2024. At least this season.
He didn't get on the field for the Eagles, and I don't think he's been the same player since he was a Pro Bowler in 2021. I'll also say this about linebackers who are Pro Bowlers. Very often, they are Pro Bowlers because of what they've done in years before than they are in the year that they were named it. I bring that up because having watched Bobby Wagner in Seattle, the Bobby Wagner that I saw in Seattle was not the Bobby Wagner that was the best linebacker in the NFL before I got there. But he kept on getting elected to the Pro Bowl, and having conversations with a former Seahawks linebacker up there, we both were in agreement. He just wasn't the same player that he was. So I think Devin White got to the Pro Bowl in 2021 because of that. He was awesome in 2020. He was awesome in 2019. He's only 26, so he's young, and theoretically this can all turn around. But he didn't play at all for Philly this year, and last year he got benched in Tampa Bay. I think he's washed.
Yeah, I kind of want to – I hope this is one that we're going to regret denouncing this early, but I'm with you here. The fact that – and I like N'Kobe Dean coming out of college. He was a fun player at Georgia. But the fact that the Eagles cut you, needed you, and Tampa Bay let you walk, and you're on a new team now, I just have nothing to believe in.
Yeah. Getting signed and then cut and then not being signed for a week in the middle of the season – that's normally a bad sign. And it is crazy because Devin White, when I was looking him up when I saw the Texans signed him, do you guys know how old Devin White is?
Probably 29.
26. He's 26 years old.
But see, remember, and this is where I think what Paul's saying is spot. Remember, I just forgot his name. Colts linebacker, changed his name, Darius Leonard to Shaq Leonard, whatever it was.
Shaq Leonard.
Remember that? He was awesome. He was one of the best linebackers in football.
Yeah, his first couple of years.
And then all of a sudden, by 27, he was out of the league. Because it's just like, it seems like right now linebackers are going quicker than running backs.
And I mean, the great ones retire early.
Yeah. Keekly.
Chris Borland. Patrick Willis,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you, washed.
It's a tough position, and it's one where speed is more important now, and it's just hard to be that size, super fast, and never get hurt.
Yeah, you're going to have more collisions than anyone on the field.
Yeah, that's the thing. The never get hurt mixed with the job is to cause collisions. And if you get hurt and you rehab and you're not the same guy, that little different, those two steps is the difference between being a Pro Bowler and being signed by the Texans in week 7.
All right, so I think we're all in agreement here.
Yeah, washed.
Devin White is washed.
I don't have any expectations for him.
We're almost going to look like this from the other perspective because I think I know what everyone's answer is going to be. But is there any chance that Paul's favorite basketball player, the bearded wonder, James Harden, is not washed?
Oh.
Or is he just for sure cooked?
Where's he playing now?
He's with the Clippers still.
I thought so. Okay. I was trying to ask that to be dickish, implying that he asked for another trade this offseason.
Open their new stadium today. Oh, no, that comes in like 2 months, his trade offer, his trade request.
Yeah, when they're
yeah, it's coming. Don't
when worry. They're 12 and 30.
Yeah, yeah. It'll come somewhere.
If I'm giving this a serious answer on a washed watch Wednesday, what do you envision James Harden as right now at age 34? Right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
In that range, maybe 35.
We'll see. With Kawhi Leonard out, I think the reason why we're going to know he's absolutely washed is because he's going to try to play Rockets basketball. Like, he's going to try to be the James Harden of the Houston Rockets without Kawhi Leonard out there and no Paul George and no Russell Westbrook.
I actually wonder if he will.
One-man band.
I actually wonder if he will. I feel like he may have realized his limitations and how to, I guess, do just what's expected of him last year. I felt like he was better about that last year. There was a stretch towards the end of last year, and it's March. Everything's fishy in March. But there was a stretch at a point last year where people were saying, oh, wow, he's not looking bad. So it's really a matter of what do you think he is at this point. He's not a star anymore, but is he a plus player? Sure, he can be a plus player for you. But I think it will be tricky the first couple of weeks of the year if they're going to be without their best players.
Yeah, James Harden's the kind of guy I wish. Remember, we used to think his game was going to develop so well over time that he was going to just age like fine wine. And he just never bought into that role. Like, there is a version where James Harden could have gone to a younger basketball team and been like a great spot up shooter and a little bit of a defensive effort guy. Just give some effort.
Go back to what he was at OKC.
And it would have been, like, he'd be great. Like, he could have been great for the Thunder right now.
Yeah, James Harden, his entire career was him being an awesome six man. Awesome, love it. Getting his own team with the Rockets, being really good. Honestly, like, the success story of, let me trade for a young player who isn't quite getting the minutes, and, oh, now he's turned into an all-star. That's great. And then, basically, since, like, 2014, 2015, he's like turned into more and more of a parody of himself. Like, he turned more and more into what the like stereotype of how James Harden plays basketball. Yeah, yes. He just got more extreme at all I do is shoot threes, try to get fouled, and on my way to try and get fouled, maybe I shoot a layup. That's like he used to, when he came to Rockets, he would shoot mid-range jump shots. He just stopped doing that. Now it was all step back threes and going to the basket to get fouled. So, yeah, I mean, washed. He's not gonna finish in top five in the MVP like he used to playing Harden ball. He's gonna have to play Harden ball because look at the roster. No one else on there. His numbers will be better, but I think he's on washed watch. Also, the strength and conditioning. Like, do you think he's gonna age gracefully?
No, not anymore. Like, I never really did.
Yeah, the work he's gonna put in. Like, come on.
But give him credit. He was very.
He's durable.
He was very durable for a while, but I feel like that's starting to go. So, as a star player and by himself, washed, but as an NBA contributor, not washed.
Alabama football.
Oh, so washed.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, man, the prestige is gone. They do not. No Nick Saban. They're not Alabama anymore.
Two losses before Halloween for the first time since 2007.
This is the Alabama that I grew up watching.
Isn't this kind of what you guys thought it was going to be, though? Did you think they were going to continue on?
I thought there was a very good chance that they were going to fall back
to this.
I thought,
like, the year or two afterwards, they would still be a top five team. Just because of the talent. And DeBoer's a good coach. But,
he is. But that's why I can't say it yet.
They're not as sharp. Some of the stuff that's going on there is, it's definitely concerning if you're an Alabama fan, because the bringing the cigars in before a game against Tennessee.
Yeah, the coach having the cigar is a bad
look. Look, you beat Georgia, but you played like crap in the second half of that game, and Nick Saban would have lit them up for that second half against Georgia, letting them back in. They play horrible against South Carolina. You'd think they'd wake up after that, and then they play horrible against Tennessee. So it's three games in a row of this, and I mean, amazingly, it feels like Kellen DeBoer is now all of a sudden being sensitive to that article that Alabama.com wrote about him, where Alabama.com's Skip Bayless was calling out Kellen DeBoer for wearing T-shirts on the sidelines. So now they're tucking shirts in going forward? Did you see that story?
I did not see that
This story blows my mind, and it does feel like it's something that you're doing because all of a sudden there is a perception that you are no longer the same Alabama. Alabama is focusing on tucking their shirts in and showing up to meetings on time to turn the season around. That is an article at 247sports.com. Refocusing on small things. Refocusing on them. Nick Saban, that was never an issue. And these are the same players who played for Nick Saban for the most part last year. We've already lost it and we're going back to fundamentals in the middle of the season, to quote Angels in the outfield. Yeah, they're washed. This is not Alabama anymore.
Yeah, it does have that article makes me change my answer for the record. Washed for sure. That was concerning. Didn't miss that one, guys. But yeah, it's funny how like just the Patriots and Bama, like, yeah, the Patriots were in a bad spot. Obviously, Alabama was not with Nick Saban there. But like the fact that you can't have any semblance of continuing that culture without these guys, like you would think they'd find some way to continue the Nick Saban way without Kalen DeBoer. And I know all these coaches have left and tried and failed to do that at other programs. And I mean, Nick Saban's tree is better than Bill Belichick's tree, but you would think like they'd have some success of being Alabama still.
Yeah. I mean, again, I didn't think that, what, 7-8 games into the season, they're having, hey guys, tuck in your shirts and show up on time meetings. Jesus. Showing up on time. Like, the shirts thing, it's a joke. It's funny that it gets people mad.
Two wardrobe controversies for Alabama already this year.
And they need to tuck it in, whatever. We need to focus on showing up on time? Guys, again, like you said.
That's the concern.
Probably 75% of the roster was recruited and coached by Nick Saban. What the hell are we doing?
Yeah, why are they still here?
Is it substitute teacher time? Like, this is where you need... I honestly think they went wrong by not hiring a Saban guy because of stuff like this. Normally, you don't want to hire, like, hey, this guy will just try to be a Saban clone. He's not as good as Saban, so it won't work. But for this kind of drop-off, like, you don't need the laid-back Washington coach. Like, you don't need that.
Should they have hired Bill O'Brien?
No, that would not
I mean, he would have him showing up on time.
O'Brien doesn't work in the South.
Ooh. That's good. That's a good take.
It works. I don't know what their record is still. So
they are Boston College. They suck.
I mean, yeah, they're running out of gas.
Yeah, he has gotten a lot out of them. All things considered,
maybe he's getting ready to replace Gerard Mayo. You know, in New England, he's just finally gonna. Wait, are you open to this poll?
That's not out of the realm of possibility. I'm not saying I'm open to it. I'm just saying that's not out of the realm of possibility. And I mean, look, I think O'Brien would have that team more focused. What can I say?
Yeah,
Mayo, everything about the Mayo hire is terrible right now. They picked this years ago, and he's on the sidelines. He's not showing any emotion, and he's calling the team soft. We're 7 games into the year, man. Yeah. There's still 10 more games. Like, how are you going to hold on to the reins for 3 more months? I don't see it.
Lost watch Bob Kraft? He was a great owner for 20 years.
Sean already said was.
He was. He was a great owner. Then no questions asked. He was a great owner.
Depends on how he handles this year, but I'm pretty there.
Okay. He's getting up there, so, you know, it's washed. Look, you know,
if it's going to happen, at least, you know, with age, we understand why.
Yeah. The Rockets prop bets.
He needs to go to Florida.
They're a basketball team that plays here in Houston. Jalen Green, points per game. Joe, you put this one in here for over under.
Well, he's like, let's go 24 and a half. Is that a good number?
He was at 19 last year.
Oh, 22 and a half.
Yeah.
Let's say 22 and a half.
That's a good number.
So that's like a blend of what March was versus the rest of the season.
Man, March, he was still 19 and a half after the year?
For the whole season, he was 19 and a half.
So what was it like?
Wow, man.
So 22 and a half.
I would have guessed it was 21. Okay, 22 and a half. It still remains to be seen if he can play with Shane Goodwin on the court. But I'm going to continue to be optimistic when it comes to this. I think he's going to go over. Barely over, but I think he's going to go over.
This one definitely feels like the what's the end of the season result for Jalen Green if he's traded for a superstar or he is the superstar. If he doesn't get to above 22.5 points this year, he's not going to play on that second and third year, that contract.
Also the fourth quarter benchings went over. More than likely. I'm in the same boat, and a lot of it just comes from looking at the team that they're bringing back. There's not really anyone that you're expecting to take so many shots away from him to where it's going to be less. You'd think that at the very least he's going to have the same or even more workload this year, and you hope he just makes more shots.
Yeah. So I'll go over.
And you only need to make, what, two shots per game?
Yeah, or it's not a huge jump here.
Yeah.
I'll go over.
Also over, but barely. This year is going to determine whether or not Jalen Green can be a franchise piece anywhere, or if he's going to be best case the Jamal Crawford of some team.
Yeah.
Like the best six man in the league.
Yeah.
That'd be a win for that team.
It would be a win for that
team. That is his baseman is good six man.
He's that good.
He honestly, like, if he turns out to that player and ends up sucking for the Rockets, but there are a lot of guys like that. Like we saw with Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Who, like, he struggled in his career. He got to Golden State, was a great six man. We've seen it with Jamal Crawford, where these guys end up being, like, really talented basketball players. It just doesn't work out for their first team.
Yeah. Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson's a good one.
It happens. And you know, you hope it doesn't happen. Or if it does happen, you hope you're getting off of him before the league realizes. And normally with a guy with this much talent, where we're talking about his basement, again, as a rotation player in the NBA, there's going to be a team that's going to take a chance on him, basically no matter how the season goes. But, yeah, you definitely, again, the easiest way to find an all-star, which is what Tillman Fertitta says he wants on John Lance this morning, easiest way is for Shagun or Green to become one.
Gallant and George, that's Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right, I am Paul Gallant. We wrap things up with a little garbage time next. Stay put.
You know what's not garbage? Going to the gym, trying to get into shape. 2025 is right around the corner. Do not wait to get into the gym. It's going to be packed in January. We all know that. So look at the head start. Get started right now. Get into some classes. They offer over 100 per week in the morning and in the afternoon, also on the weekend. So you can find something that works to your taste. Try something new, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, weightlifting, whatever you want to try, you can do at O Athletic. They got the full-on recovery system there for you as well. You've got the endless pool, the sauna, the steam room. I love going to O Athletic. I'll be there tomorrow morning myself. We'll be trying the do a little treadmill and Rockets game watching at the same time. We'll be starting that workout routine tomorrow. Don't wait till 2025. Go to OAthletic, oathletic.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tillman Fertitta was on the station this morning. Check out the podcast with John and Lance. Has some interesting things to say today. His Rockets tip off this season at Toyota Center tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. And of note, Ben Taylor is the crew chief for Rockets Hornets tonight. That is relevant because Fred VanVleet once said this about Ben Taylor.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, you know, Ben Taylor was terrible tonight. I thought that most nights, you know, a couple of the, you know, out of the three, there's one or two that just the game up, you know, and it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a tech, changes the whole dynamic of the game, changes the whole flow of the game. And, you know, most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs are trying hard. They're pretty fair. They communicate well. And then you got the other ones who just want to be and just kind of fucks the game up. Nobody's coming to see that. They come to see the players. And I think we're losing a little bit of the fabric of what the NBA is and was. And it's been disappointing this season. You could look up most of my texts this year have been with Ben Taylor officiating. So at a certain point as a player, you feel it's personal.
Damn.
Well, let's put one in the fight column tonight. Fred VanVleet versus Ben Taylor.
I was going to say, I don't know if Price Picks lets you do technical fouls.
Technical fouls?
More.
I would hit the over for Fred VanVleet against Ben Taylor. That's a lot. I mean, that's like Chris Paul versus Scott Foster. Everything that we wish Chris Paul had said about Scott Foster.
Also, this clip. Because when I grabbed it, it's from March 9th. It was from the March 9th show, so it was probably March 8th. kickstarted the run. Kickstarted the winning streak.
Maybe we was Scott Foster refereeing the Spurs game tonight. Just like start with some like real rivalry.
Rivalry week?
Yeah, rivalry week to get the NBA go. Oh, they play tomorrow, so maybe.
There we go.
Give me like the two Spurs games coming up here. Give me one Scott. I just have to keep saying that Chris Paul is on the team so I don't forget. Give me one Chris Paul, Scott Foster versus the Rockets game.
Yeah.
Coming up. That's what we really need.
In Toyota Center.
Let's wrap it up with some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I got a push notification from my ESPN app because LeBron James was on the same court as LeBron James Jr. last night.
Congrats to them.
Congrats.
I just don't.
It's a great family moment.
I wonder how much they talked about it like on TV today, like on the ESPN.
I saw a couple, like just looking up, I saw a couple times, but not like, it wasn't every time. There's still a lot of football and stuff. But. Okay.
That's
good. Right now, they're looking at the new Clippers Arena on NBA Today.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Lakers did win, for what it's worth.
And it's really only impressive on LeBron's side that he's good. He's, I mean, that LeBron James is, old, or is what, 20 years older than his kid and still better than with basketball?
Mm.
That's impressive.
Did you guys see the fake TikTok thing they made yesterday that went out?
Oh, the, like, hey, Rook. Don't be late. Yeah.
And LeBron put like Fruity Pebbles in his son's car.
He was like, hey, don't make a mess on my driveway.
But like they tried to make it seem like it was organic.
Yeah, it was like
But they were mic'd up.
It was a bit like a very weird
so stupid.
It was so clearly a commercial.
Yeah.
But then also it was filmed like a TikTok video. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
3 minutes for Bronny James Jr., 0 for 2 from the field, 0 for 1 from outside. One offensive rebound.
Hey.
The offensive rebound was a missed tip. That was the second missed shot.
Gotcha.
Oh, so he missed his own tip?
No. No, oh, okay. It was... I forgot who shot
gotcha.
It. But he went up for it. He just kind of like... I mean, this happens a lot, where you just tip it towards the rim, and they count it as a missed shot. Mm. It wasn't like... I don't know. It wasn't that bad of a miss. But the three, terrible.
Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 ball fetched $4.39 million in an auction. I want to kill myself.
That's the dream, right? To catch a meaningful home run.
I judged those Doyer fans for fighting over it, and now I get it. I'm surprised no one got stabbed in the parking lot after that.
Well, it was a little kid, but...
And it was in Miami.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's true.
And so there's no one there.
That's a great point.
It was a Marlins game in September, so...
The auction house did not identify the buyer. So they don't identify the buyer, but they will identify who wins the lottery in Texas?
There's like Dan Ravel, the loser.
I don't think Dan Ravel has that kind of cash.
That's probably true.
Probably a Japanese businessman, right? Like Japanese Elon Musk?
Maybe. Could be. We'll see. Actually, I guess we'll never know. Who knows?
One day they'll tell us.
Unless he's like on TikTok with like, look at this.
Yeah, I don't want to go all Israeli Defense Force and say, like, hey, this guy's address. This is where all the money is.
Go steal it.
Go find it. That's what they did yesterday.
I saw that.
That was pretty funny. Anyway, on that note, that's going to wrap up today's Glenn and George radio program. For Sean Bates, for Joe George, I am really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.